I guess most of you know we do have the website, experiencethebook.org. I have bookmarks here. I've gone through and I've really worked and made the titles really clear. It has the step, it has the pages, it has the chapter, it has a description. We're finishing up on step four tonight on the Sunday night. And we actually started, when we started the end of February recording, we were on step four on, I believe, Wednesday night. And so there's a full podcast on all of step four. And it's done twice. And each time it's different because I don't listen to what I did before and I don't use notes. And I see different things each time. And tonight we're going to be looking at the book, The Steps We Took, on step four, from the book by Joe McHugh. I don't know if it's AA approved or not, but this book has changed my life and others, because Joe was the one with Joe and Charlie who started the Joe and Charlie Big Book and went around for 20 years and did 35 weekends. And what Joe did was make this book come alive so people could understand how it's written as a textbook, how it reveals itself to us. And I use that to try to start doing these meetings. And I owe so much to them. They changed my life. I never met them, but they did. God sent them to me. In this four step, Joe clearly, I read these pages today, and if you're new or old, this really gives a very clear understanding of what we're supposed to do in the beginning with step four, what we're supposed to do every day. Because step four isn't something to be done so you can say you did step four. You're learning tools that you're going to use every day the rest of your life. Step 10 is continue to take your personal inventory all day long. And so in this, it's very simple, this writing. It goes through some basic concepts of step four. And the nuts and bolts are in the book, but it follows the book. And you can find them all in the previous episodes. And then when we look at step five, we'll be looking at some of the results of step four, and it puts it into context as well. So he says, identifying what blocks us from God. You think that's important? I didn't know what was blocking me from God because I was playing God. Anybody else do that? And so I didn't even realize that I was playing God and blocking myself from God till I came here. And actually, it wasn't until I really listened to Joe and Charlie that I understood the whole deal. And so we're looking at the things that block us from God so we can carry out the decision in step three. In step three, and we're going to read about it, we make a decision that we're going to have God be our director. And I'm doing that because I don't want to play God anymore because it didn't work. And I became a selfish, self-centered person. And when I live in self-centeredness, things don't go well, and I don't feel good, and then I drank. So it says we're going to block the things, identifying what blocks me from God. Now, where is God? He's inside of me. I believe that he's inside of all of us. It says in the Big Book, and we agnostic, the fundamental idea of God is deep down inside of us. And we block it out. And so the Big Book also told me that there's no barrier between me and that power inside of me except me. It says the highway to God is broad, all-inclusive, non-inclusive, open to all those who seek him. We read How It Works tonight. Casey did a beautiful job. It says God can and will if he is sought. So I'm going to seek God. If I seek God, he can and will relieve me of my alcoholism. He can relieve me of the bondage of self. So step four is we're beginning to do it. It says, although the inventory is sometimes confusing to people, it's very confusing, and you can get on the internet and have all sorts of four-step guides, and each treatment center has their own four-step. We have the book. The book's the textbook. I believe, for me, my experience, if you just follow the book, it's very simple. You'll get the results. If you follow somebody else's directions, I don't know what results you'll get. And remember, I want to get the results they got because their results led to a recovered from a hopeless condition of mind and body. And a lot of people say they work the steps in treatment. I say, well, what'd you learn? See, we have to learn certain things. We have to learn certain tools. If we don't learn them, we can't use them every day. And it says, he explains how things that blocked us from God manifested themselves in three major ways. On page 64, you don't have to turn there. It says, we look at the common manifestations of self because self defeated me. Does anybody agree that you defeated yourself with your self-centeredness? So I'm going to look at the manifestations of self. Now, manifestation is a symptom or sign of an ailment. So I'm going to look at the systems and signs of the ailment. When people used to come to me, I was a physician, they'd have certain symptoms and signs. And I could see the symptoms and signs, but I couldn't help them until I understood the cause. Now, the manifestations of a life run on self-will is resentment, fear, and harms done to others. So we talk about we have a spiritual disease. When I have a spiritual disease and I'm running the world and I'm playing God and I'm consciously separate myself from God, then my life is filled with resentment, fear, and harming others. So when you look at your life story, and they talk about in step 4 and 5, we're going to look at the life story of my resentment, my fear, and the harms to others. And then we're going to work back from that and see what the cause is, see what the disease is. Now, how would that be useful to you today? If I'm angry today, I'm back in self. It's a manifestation of self-centeredness. I don't have to be angry today. I'm learning the tools in step 4 so that I don't have to be angry. I can be free of it. Certain prayers, a way of looking at it differently. If I'm fearful today, I don't have to be fearful. It's a choice. I'm back in self. I decide what I need, and I'm afraid I won't get it. And I certainly don't have to harm other people today. I hope I haven't. And he directs us how to inventory and analyze these things. We're going to analyze and inventory the blockages so we can learn the truth about them, and then we can learn how we cause them, and we can learn how to be free of them. Anybody want to be free of anger? It's right in the book. In fact, I just wrote a thought on the site on how to be free of anger. Stu said it was good. I don't think anybody else has read it, but it was good. And we have a podcast episode on step 4, freedom from anger. We just did that. There are two of them on there. So it says step 4 made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. So the way they do it in AA, we want to find out the cause of our demise, the cause of getting us here. So we start with work at the symptoms and we work back. And we're going to do like a CT scan of our life. And we're going to look inside and we're going to see what caused these things to be manifest. And I wrote here, what we thought was our personality was just my thinking as a result of self-centeredness. And it really wasn't. It wasn't the truth. It was a world I created. And so it says, I wrote here, we're going to remove the blockages and have God to take away the causes, which are our character defects. Now, why do we do step 4? So we could do step 5. Remember, there's an order. So they didn't number this 6, and you do 4, 7 before 6. This is number 4 because it says, I'm going to do a searching and fearless moral inventory of myself, right? And then I'm going to admit to God, myself, and others the exact nature of my wrongs. So I don't know what they are. The wrongs were my resentment, fear, and harms, and I'm going to find the exact nature. And that's what I'm going to ask God to remove in 6 and 7. But if I don't know that, I can't change. And I don't have any cards here today. I've given them all out. But basically, we want to go from living selfish to sign of self-centered God, personality of a self-centered person to a personality God-centered person. I don't know how to do that. In fact, I didn't even know that I had this personality. It was just me. And now we're going to see it differently. Does this make sense? So we're going to read here on page 57. The big book says that step 3 has no permanent effect unless we follow it once by removing the things that block us from God. So I can make a decision. Why won't anything change if I make a decision to seek God and have him be my director? Because the decision won't not followed by action doesn't have a result. So you can, I heard people say, I turned my will over, took it back. You hear that all the time at meetings. Love and tolerance, right? But people are, they're saying the truth for them, but they don't understand that we stay at our will. We're not capable of turning it over. God has to take it away if we let go of it. And we don't do it. God's always there. We never give it ourselves. God takes away what we let go of. And it says step three are done in order. It says first, I have to realize that self-will has been blocking me from God. Now there are three pages, 60 to 62, where they describe a life run on self-will. It's not pretty. And if you really believe that, then you want to have God's will instead of your will. I think a lot of reasons people don't make it is they don't understand the first three steps and they don't take them for themselves. They can't admit complete defeat. They can't give up managing their lives. They can't understand what their insanity is, and they can't believe that something outside themselves can fix it. And then they can't understand the total surrender in step three. And the reason we surrender totally in step three is because we're completely defeated. And so if you can remember back to when you came here, or if you're new, it's not too far, what your life looked like when you came here and how bad it was. And it's because of that, the pain of the selfish life, that we decide to let go of that, seek something else. Nobody does steps 4 through 9 because they wake up and say, good idea. It's because they're completely defeated and they have no other choice. So you can tell if you're completely defeated on running your own life and your alcoholism if you're working the steps. In fact, I wrote a thing on step zero. You might read a thought on it. It was good. There is a step zero. Then we have to make a decision to turn our will over to the care of God, replacing that self-will with God's will. Now, what I realized today is that I can't have both self-will and God's will at the same time. It may sound stupid, but I can't. I'm either in God's will or I'm in self-will. And we talk about it a lot. What is our choice to be? Is God everything or nothing? What is my choice to be? Well, I make that choice all day long. Is God everything in all areas of my life? Or is he everything in every area except my job or money? And so I can't have self-will and God's will at the same time. It's one or the other. Now, God's will won't come into my life unless I can identify through my self-will what's blocking me and let go of it. God could take away all of our character defects, any of us right away, right? Today he has all power, but he won't do that. He won't do that. He gave us free will. We have to let go of it, and then God will take them away. So we don't really gain anything here. We're just going to lose all the stuff that's been killing us. It says in order to do this, we have to identify the manifestations of self-will so we can start to limit them. So step four, there's so many values of step four, but you learn how to be free of anger, free of fear, and you learn about your harmful conduct, and you write an ideal so you're not going to harm people anymore. Isn't that great? Mm-hmm. And you learn that, but you also learn how to recognize them as not being true. And then you also learn how to see where you're thinking your character defects caused almost all your resentments, your fear, and your harms you did to others. So you start out with a whole list of everyone you hate, and then in the end, you have to make amends to them. It's a son of a bitch, but it's true. And you're willing to do it, and it's freeing, because, and we're going to read about that. So step four is looking at the manifestations of self-will. And then in step five, we talk them over with another person and learn more about them. We learn the root cause. Then in step six, we begin to become willing of the things that were killing me. And then we ask God to remove them. Now, six and seven we do all day long. I'll tell you how it works. I'm angry about something. Something bothered me today. I can't remember right now. It was a pretty good day. I was alone. And my wife's in the other room, so we didn't. It was anyway, that, we're not going to get into that. Anyway, if I get angry, what's happening? If I judge something, I don't like something. Well, I'm back into self. And then I'm judging it in the relation of what I think it should be. And then I don't like it. And then I get angry. And then in that moment, I'm not having God's direction. And so I can understand when I'm doing that and I'm getting into judgment, I'm getting into self. And I don't have to do that. So I say, God, I don't need to judge this. It's okay the way it is. Take me out of self. Help me see it differently and let go of it. And you can do that in about 5 seconds when you're good at it. And then you say, God, help me be free of whatever this judgment or anger is. And so you can do that right away. You learn how to do it. So this isn't like some exercise and you get a diploma. This is just tools that you learn to use all day long. The steps are actions. This is the fourth paragraph, that we carry out the decision we made in step three. The results of step three will not be based on the decision itself, but on the actions we take as a result of that decision. Now, when we take the actions of 4 through 9, we are promised that we're going to have a relationship with God, and God's going to do for me what I could not do for myself. We read them every meeting. And then you have true faith, and you have knowledge that God can do this. So you start out with belief in step three. You take steps 4 through 9, and then you have knowledge that God can do for you what you cannot do for yourself. Then you do 10 and 11 all day long to keep the contact with God, so you have the knowledge of God. You keep taking the actions, and then you're doing, he's doing for me what I cannot do for yourself. And see how your life turns out if you do that. Step three, it says, is a vital and crucial step. Vital means necessary for life and has no permanent effect unless we follow it with actions beginning with step four. Now he talks about step four is really very simple. In the big book, I've gone through it. I don't know how many meetings I've done on step four, hundreds. I've got the thing memorized. But I'll tell you, it's so simple, but people make it complicated. And when we just go through the directions, the way they're laid out, it's very simple. And it gives you a lot of information. He starts off on page 64. Don't turn to your big book, but he talks about how we're going to take a personal house cleaning. And we're going to inventory, and he compares it to a business inventory. And he says, he asks us to consider ourselves the most important business of earth. Do you think you're an important business? You want your business to succeed, right? So we're going to look at it and see what caused our failure. When you came in here, did you think your business of life was failing? Well, if you didn't, you may not need to do this, but you may be in an unreality, but most people can see that. A business that didn't know what it had to sell or what it needed and wouldn't be able to meet the needs of its customers. The business would have a lot of stuff he couldn't sell, taking up shelf space. He'd have a lot of money, wasn't paying interest on that. He would soon go broke. So if you go into Walmart, you're not going to see on the shelves all the stuff that they didn't sell last year. They're not going to order more of that, right? They're going to get rid of that. They're going to get the stuff that you want to sell. Christmas is the big season, right? They're already looking at everything they sold last Christmas. They're already going to figure out how to get more of that next Christmas. And the stuff that didn't sell, they're not going to buy any more of that. So what we want to do is look in our minds at the stuff that we keep in our mind that's killing us and blocking us from God and get rid of the stuff on the shelves so God can come in. And he says we take a written inventory to make a written list of items. You have to write it down because you can't do it in your mind. And it says, if we don't write it down, we won't be able to retain the information we need in the way we need to see it. I want to stress that inventory is a written list of items. There's no such thing as a mental inventory, especially for an alcoholic to do a mental inventory with the mind that's blocking you from God. It's kind of preposterous when you think about it. And so the key thing is when you put it on paper, it's not in your mind anymore, and then you can look at it. Somebody else can help you look at it. So there's a little chart here. The business inventory is fact-finding, fact-facing, and truthful. And the personal inventory is searching, fearless, and moral. And that comes right out of the book on page 64. So I'm going to do a searching, fact-facing, and fact-finding, and truthful inventory of my personality. And when he says fearless, we talked about fact-facing. Moral just means truthful. A lot of people don't like that because they think it's a confession. Going to have to go in and say all the bad things they did. Well, you may say them after a while, but it's not a list of bad things. Like Joe and Charlie said, we don't care if you committed 100 adultery 100 times. We want to know why you committed adultery. Or not that you robbed the bank 100 times, but why'd you rob the bank? So it says, if we look at ourselves as we would a business, we will see, I think, that we have to trade in to deal in every day our thoughts. So what we're doing in step four and in the steps is looking at my thinking all the time. And I'm going to look at my thinking and see if it's true, see if it's God-centered or self-centered. And they have a quote here, as a man thinketh, so he is. I believe that. Remember it says our problems are of our making. They arise out of ourselves. I made decisions based on self that caused me to be harmed. Now, I couldn't tell that completely till I did my fourth step. And I said, wow, why'd I do that? And you could see how harmful they were and really how they were really bad ideas. But I couldn't see it till I came here. I just thought it was all their fault. He says, we are the sum total of the thoughts that go through our minds each day. Anybody believe that? Nobody in here would like people to see on CNN a video of their thinking all day long. I mean, it's frightening. And in fact, we don't even want to look at it all the time. That's why we drank, right? The guy said alcoholics never shoot themselves in the foot. They always shoot themselves in the head so they could stop their minds. But think about it. We think these things, and they talk to us. And I heard this guy today, he says, we have a liar in our head. We have this thing that's talking to us. It's not really telling us the truth. And I have to stop, learn how to not pay attention to it. But in step four, we're going to inventory this thinking. And we're going to see how we don't want to think that way anymore. We don't want to rely on that. We want to rely on something else. And we want to get rid of the unsaleable goods, the thoughts that are making our lives unmanageable, and replace them with stock that will bring us a better return. And he explains how the things that blocked us from God are manifest in three major ways. I said that before. Resentment, fear, and harms done to others. He directs us to inventory and analyze these things. Remember, resentment is just wrong judgment, anger. Fear is wrong belief, and harms are harmful acts. So he says, number one for selfish, self-centered person is resentment. Anybody believe that? Anybody not believe that? Anybody who leaves AA, stops going to the meeting, is because of a resentment. They're angry about something. They've decided something. And then they make a decision based on that, and then it's not a good one. And people say we drink because of our resentments. I believe that's true. Resentments effectively block us from God. At the time we have resentments, these thoughts dominate our mind, causing us to turn our lives over to the people and things we resent. Now, if you don't think that's true, get angry about something. You're sitting in your chair. Whatever you're angry at, that person isn't even in the room. They're home watching Big Bang, and you're plotting their execution. How's that working for you? See, it's you're taking poison, hoping they'll die. And some of them can be very trivial. But whatever it is, it's blocking you at that moment from God. And they build up. And then it can be trivial today, but you'll make it worse tomorrow. You'll think about it some more. It was really bad. And by 2 days, it was a horrible thing. And by Wednesday, you're ready to execute. We pole vault over mouse turds. Anybody heard that before? Yeah. I thought that's funny. Thanks for laughing, Vanessa. If people and things we resent are directing our lives, we can't carry out the decision that we just made in step three. The thing I learned when I did my resentment inventory is how stupid I was. I gave so much control of my life to other people. They dominated me my whole life. I thought I was running the show, but you see, we don't really run the show. We're controlled by our anger and our resentments, and they run our show. And the same was true for fears. The same is true for fears, he says, and harms done to others. I think it's important that we understand how these things control our minds. When I have fear, the fear dominates my mind. Anybody have fear ever? I had complete fear of everything when I came in here. Fear dominated my mind, and you know, I couldn't even describe it. I was just irritable, restless, and discontented all the time, and anxious. Anybody worry? Anybody have anxious? Anxious is just another name for fear. And we live in that. Alcoholics live in that. Why? Because we're separated from God. We don't have any peace when we're self-centered. And we see it as worry and anxiety. We don't even realize it. It's like they said, well, the fish wears water. Well, you're in the water. The fish can't see it because they're living in it. And it says, when we harm others, we have guilt and remorse. So these are the three major areas of our lives that we need to look at. Most of our negative concerns from day to day can be placed under one of these headings. Now, we're going to learn this because in step 10, we want to live in peace with God, right? Every day. So we're going to watch all day long for resentment, fear, selfishness, and dishonesty. And when these crop up, we're going to ask God to remove them. Those are the things that are the negative emotions that are separating me from God. And it says, we listen and analyze these things so we can see where they originated and so we can talk about them with another human being and so we can be willing to let them go. So we're going to look at these resentments in detail. Now, he's not going to go into all that here. It's in the book and it's been on the previous episodes. But he's going to give you some generalities. A person is motivated by self-will. That means I decide what I need in my life to be okay in all areas of my life. Anybody ever do that? When I do that, I make wrong judgments. I judge things, and I don't know they're wrong, I'm just angry. And in fact, all my resentments were justified when I came in here, I would think. Well, 95% of them. When you see new people come in, they'll tell you about a resentment, you know, and you listen and you say, oh my God, how could they have lived with that? It's just, and then if you actually work the steps with them, you see how none of it's really, really true, and how they've distorted it, changed it in their mind. But it's wrong judgment. It's always wrong to be angry. Always. It says justified anger is never allowed in AA. Why? Because alcoholics can't know what's justified anger. It says whenever I'm disturbed, there's something wrong with me. If I'm disturbed, there's something wrong with me. Not what's happening. It's the way I'm seeing it. And so wrong judgment, wrong anger is always a killer to me. Fear is wrong belief. It's something that I think is going to happen that hasn't happened yet. And I think it's true, actually. Anybody sit at home, you're feeling good, you're enjoying your day, and then all of a sudden you'll get some fear. And then within 10 minutes, you're in jail, and you've lost everything, and the wife's left you, and you've lost your job. And you go, well, how'd that happen? I was just watching TV. But alcoholics can get into some real strange fear thoughts. Am I making sense? If you haven't had it, you're probably in the wrong room. Fear dominated our lives. And then we would act on the fear. We'd sit there, cock up this whole story, and then we'd say, I better make a phone call and do this so that this doesn't happen. And then you do it, and then these people get pissed off at you, and then they're angry at you, and you say, gee, son of a bitch, how'd that happen? So then you have to hate them. Now you have a resentment. And then you're all pissed off at them and you want them executed. And it all started sitting in your chair. Just sitting in the chair during Big Bang. You concocted this whole story and now your life's a mess. Well, if you don't think that's true, you're not in the right room. Because you can see it. You can't see it when you come in, but you can see it when you do this four step. You can really see your whole life. And the freedom of that is I don't have to be that way anymore. I don't have to do that. I don't have to think like that. And he calls these things wrong. It's important that we look at wrongs in this broader sense because people don't understand. Wrong actions is when we harm others. Wrong belief is fear, and wrong judgments are resentment. Now, the problem is when you come here, you don't know they're wrong. So they ask you to list the resentments. And then as you work through the columns with the sponsor and you look at them, you can see how they were wrong. It was wrong to be angry. Now, you may not understand that yet, but if you start to do it and you listen to those podcasts where you go through the things, it's be evident. And it says, we analyze, you want to get to the root cause. So we see the resentment, we know that, but we don't know what the root cause is. And here in this, it says this is more of a review. It's really a good review for new people. Resentment is a wrong because it blocks you from God, but it isn't what really started it. In step five, we talk about the exact nature of the resentment. Some people advise that it's good to vent feelings and let resentments out, but unless we get to the root cause of the resentment, we've only made room for the next resentment to come in. So venting may make us feel good for a while, but if we don't get to the cause of the wrong judgment, we will soon have another resentment. And also venting doesn't get us free of it. So let's say you're angry at something that happened and you decide it's wrong, you look at the cause, it makes sense. And then I could see how I was threatened by this action and it affected my self-esteem or my pride. And so I didn't like the way it affected it and it was a false sense of self. So I got angry at that person. And then I took actions on it. Now we learn then we're all spiritually sick. We're all children of God, right? So whenever we're angry at anybody, we ask God to give us love, patience, and tolerance, right? God, remove our anger. God, give me a kind and tolerant view. God, how can I be helpful? Those are in pages 66, 67. So you have to do the first three columns. You do those prayers. Then you look at the fourth column. And you're mistaken, you're thinking. It says that the next paragraph, if we could, in italics, if we could see the truth about our resentments, we won't have them anymore. See, if I could see the truth about them, then I won't have them, and I can see how they're harmful to me, and then I'm even willing to make amends so that I'm not blocked from those people anymore. It says, we're hunting for and analyzing the truth. We're like detectives at a crime scene. We go over the evidence of the scene. We try to do the physical evidence, analyze it, and see where we are. I think I'm going to stop here, and then we'll finish up next week, and we'll go through these charts. Is that okay? Is this helpful? So if you can, try to bring these back, because I made 40 copies, and then my wife will say, well, why do you need 20 more next week? I said, well, honey, it's AA. So if you can, and in fact, you could even read this and study this. And the steps we took is available on Amazon. It's a good thing you could buy one, and if you have a sponsor, read it with your sponsee. It follows the big book on all the steps. So that's enough. Thank you, guys.